chapter 2 today for a few moments. Amen. Before we seek the Lord with a time of prayer in just a bit. Mark chapter 2. This is the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 and a familiar story. And so I want us to read it, though, together, verses 1 through 12, and just see what the Lord has for us here from this passage and text. All right, Mark chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible with you, the text is provided on the screen. All right, so you can follow along. Amen. If you're ready, say go. All right. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. For him to come here this morning, I feel him. It says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It was, Lord, I believe in every service it's what we need. I pray that as we focus on this text, that we will be able to bring it into our minds, our hearts, as we process this miracle, as we are reminded that our God is able to heal, to deliver, to set free. Thank you for the power of your written word. May it speak to our lives today and have eternal reward. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are continuing our series. If you're a visitor here this morning, we're continuing our series called Doors. I want to remind you that this series is built on the premise that when it comes to our spiritual lives, there are doors that we intentionally choose to open and doors we intentionally choose to close. These spiritual doors have repercussions or rewards depending on what we do with them. So we've been approaching several doors over the last, 4 weeks or so. And we've been examining what it takes to open the right doors in our lives and close the wrong ones. Now this morning I want to take a turn and focus on a door that we know we need to walk through to experience victory. But for some reason or another, we find that door has been blocked by the enemy. How many remember that Scripture states that we have an adversary? You recall that? We have an adversary who will go to any length to see that we are hindered from our God-given directives and destiny. And so I'll get specifically to the text in a moment, but I first want to lay a foundation to build off of, because I think we all can agree that physical, emotional, and spiritual sickness, it's prevalent today in our culture. And since healing, according to the Bible, is holistic, it applies to the whole man, I want to begin today with the aspect of physical healing that's possible for us to receive because it's provided for us through Christ. And I want to just remain on that particular aspect of healing because that's the context of our text. Okay, maybe next week or later on we'll talk about the door of emotional healing as the Lord directs. But many have chronic ailments. Some have been recent, some have been lifelong, some have been long-term. Our nation is blessed, gifted with dedicated, committed medical teams for which we are thankful. We are grateful. Most of us here this morning, no doubt, have reaped the benefits of good healthcare professionals at different points in our lives. But having said that, they will be the first to tell us that when it comes to healing, when it comes to recovery, there's only so much they can do. And that is where we're thankful that regardless of the sickness, regardless of the disease or the pain, Scripture informs us that God is the ultimate healer of all of life's needs. Praise God. Let me begin by saying that both salvation for the soul and bodily healing were provided through the atonement of Christ. Matthew 8, 16 through 17 makes it clear that Christ healed all manner of diseases on the grounds of his atonement. And the reason he healed all, making no exceptions, was his redemptive atonement was to all, no exceptions. How many know anybody can be saved? Every member of Adam's race. It's not a limited atonement. Hello. It's an unlimited atonement. And so as the multitudes of people in many cities pressed upon him to hear him, the Bible says, it is repeatedly stated in the Gospels that he healed them all. Somebody say, praise God. The only time and place, now let me backtrack just a minute. The only time and place where he might not have healed everyone who came to him was when he preached, the Bible says, in the synagogue of his hometown, the town of Nazareth. You remember that. There the Bible simply says in Matthew 13:58 that he did not many mighty works or supernatural acts of power. Because of what? Because of their unbelief. God's way of saving the soul and healing the body and doing anything else that he wants to do is to send his word. That's how he does it. To send his word, his promise, and then keep his word wherever it is proclaimed and where faith is produced. How many know his word and faith go together? Praise God. So this procedure, it's actually stated in Psalm 107, for example, 17 through 20, where it states that he, God, sent his word and healed them. Christ actually did that upon occasion as well in the New Testament. So the word of God not only has creative power, but redemptive power and healing power as well. I believe in divine healing. Amen. So it is that our faith is not only for the salvation of the soul, but for the healing of the body. And it comes by hearing God's words. And faith cometh by hearing what? By hearing the word of God. What? There is no surer basis for faith than hearing the word of God, church. And one interesting thing related to the topic of the value of healing is actually the value of God's redemptive names. All of the Lord's covenants, redemptive names are attached to them. We've got Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, and many others. They're revealed for a specific purpose in Scripture so we would know His redemptive attitude toward us. And the redemption of all mankind is the focal point and purpose of the entire gospel of Christ. And so the redemptive names of Jehovah are never used in Scripture except in connection with the dealings with man. So the blessings revealed by each of the names are all wrapped up in the atoning power of Jesus Christ. And one of the compound names of the Lord is Jehovah Rapha. Somebody say it with me. Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15:36, where He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. In other words, He said, I am the Lord thy physician. This name shows us our redemptive privilege, church, of being healed. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 says, surely He hath borne our sickness. He's carried our pain. In the very first covenant, God gave His people, Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, which was so distinctively typical of our redemption, was the covenant of divine healing. There He revealed Himself as their physician. This was not only a promise, but it was to be, according to Scripture, a statute or an ordinance, okay, according to Scripture. And now the good news is that none of the blessings that the names of Jehovah reveal to us have ever been withdrawn from us. Praise God. Jehovah Rapha, our physician, did not come with an expiration date attached to it. Can I have an amen? So no man has the right to change any of the Lord's I ams into I was. Praise God. There's some out there that don't believe healing anymore. Hello? But I say no person has the right to change any of the Lord's I ams to I was and say He no longer gives blessings. We can no longer receive blessings. Why? Because the Bible says the word of the Lord endureth forever. That means He's still my healer. He's still my provider. He's still my righteousness. He's still my peace. He's still my present help. He's still my salvation. He's still everything I need. Praise God. So I can't get excited yet. Now, I want you to notice here, before we get to the text, I'm getting there, I promise. One step to receive healing, let me mention it before we move on, is make sure you're right with the Lord. Because some of the redemptive blessings are conditional. Okay? And when seeking healing for our lives, there should be no compromise with sin. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, but if we cling to the works of the devil, if we cling to our sin and disobedience, it's hard to exercise faith. Scripture urges us, confess your faults one to another, that ye may be what? Healed. Paul said, beloved, I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's something wrong when a person desires the blessing, but not the blesser. Hello. It is not proper to seek His mercy while rejecting His manifest will. So God's promises are to the obedient. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3:7-8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel, which is flesh, and marrow, which is strength, to thy bones. Now, let me ask you, when was Naaman healed? Naaman in the Bible, how many remember that story? When was he healed? When his surrender and obedience to the Word of God was complete. So be sure you're being obedient to the Lord. Okay? Now, with that as our foundation, let's go back to our text, which is the account of Christ operating under the gift of physical healing. We have here an interesting story about a paralyzed gentleman who needed an audience with Christ. As the story goes, Christ was in some type of house ministering to a large group of people. The house was so crowded that no one could get inside the door. It's quite possible that this paralyzed man heard about Christ being in town and he wanted to go where he was, thinking he might be healed of his condition. Now, or maybe the four men in our text saw Jesus at the house and thought, oh. So they ran to get this handicapped friend and bring him to the healer. But the point is, when they carried him to the house where Jesus was, what happened? They couldn't get through the... Okay, this series is about doors. Okay. The room was packed with people. The doorway was jammed with people trying to hear Jesus and see Jesus. It is highly possible that they tried to get people to move, excuse me, so they could get their friend to Christ, but no one wanted to lose their place in the crowd. They might miss something. So it looked like they might as well give up and take this man back home and wait for another time, another place, right? But they were desperate. How many know desperation makes all the difference in the world? They were desperate. They had to get him to Jesus. So being desperate, these men thought up a good idea. Why don't we climb up on the roof, let him down where Jesus is standing? Now, you have to understand, this was probably not their house. What would you do if you saw someone tearing your roof off and trying to lower a stranger into your home? 911 in a hurry. These guys were desperately trying to get this poor sick man to the healer. It might be his only chance. It could be their last opportunity. And as far as they were concerned, Christ may not ever pass this way again. And they wanted to make sure this paralyzed man had a chance to see Jesus. So they tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down to Jesus. But notice, instead of giving physical healing first, the first words out of Christ's mouth was this: "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Christ saw in this man a much greater need than just healing for his body. Thank God, Christ is not only our healer, but he is also our redeemer. He is our Savior with the power to forgive us of all of our sins. Christ wanted that man to walk away, not with just physical restoration, but with total restoration, both soul, body, and spirit. Thank God this man left that room different than when he came in. He came with his infirmities, church, but he left completely restored and healed. He came with his iniquities, but he left forgiven and set free. He came with no hope, but he left with complete victory. He came with problematic questions, but he left with a soul-saving solution. He came with faith, and he did not leave disappointed. Why? Because Jesus was in the house. I'm about to get radical. You better hang on to your seatbelt. He came with faith. And even though the door was blocked, listen, friends, here's what I want to point out to you. Listen, here's the point. When the devil blocks the door, sometimes you got to go through the roof. I said, when the devil blocks the door, you're going to have to go through the roof. I can think of others whose doors were blocked, but they did not give up. A woman who had an issue of blood cried out to Jesus as he was passing by one day. She was hopeless. Her future was bleak. Her days were numbered. She tried to get to Jesus, but she couldn't. The door was blocked. I said, the door was blocked. Her doorway was crowded. She tried to cry out, but the noise of the crowd smothered her voice. She must have tried over and over again, but to no avail. She must have said, I've got to get to Him. I can't let this opportunity pass me by. He may never be passing by this way. So if I could just touch His clothes, I believe I'll be healed. And she went around the block door and she made her way to Jesus. She finally made her way through the crowd, reached out and touched His clothes, and immediately the Bible says she was made whole. Her faith and her determination made a way through the roof when the door was blocked. Anybody got a doorway blocked today? Huh? Have you ever been trying to get an answer from God and the door was blocked? Has the devil blocked your door to victory? Have you been trying to press your way through to victory? But everywhere you turn, this door is barricaded. This door is blocked. Huh? Listen, Satan will block your victory every time if you let him. He will do everything he can to keep you from getting through. His desire is to keep you in bondage, to keep you discouraged, to keep you sick, to keep you in debt, to keep you defeated, to keep you on the bottom. Listen, he knows if you can get through to Jesus. I said, if you can get through to Jesus this morning. You know, it's his business to block the blessing. It's his business to block healing. But I want to tell somebody this morning, if he's blocking your door, go through the roof. Don't let him block it any longer. He'll send every temptation and trial he possibly can. He'll launch his fiery darts at you to try to bring you down. But listen, the Bible says no weapon. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. What some of us might not realize is that if Satan is blocking our door, it's because we're letting him. Hello. Say, preach now, preacher. He may block our door, but church, we must find a way. Go through the roof if you have to. He may send a trial your way, but desperate faith turns trials into blessings. Did you hear me? He may send temptations, but desperate faith turns temptations into victories. He may bring defeat our way, but desperate faith turns defeat into victory by saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He may block the door of blessings with the biggest battle that you've ever faced. Some of you could be facing battles right here, but remember, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The word prosper was translated in the Greek, meaning to push forward or be profitable. The word weapon was translated from the Greek, meaning something that's prepared, some kind of apparatus that may be used against us. And can I tell you, that is a description of what the adversary does. He prepares weapons of defeat for each of us trying to block the door to our victory. He prepares weapons of discouragement. He'll bring anything to defeat and rob us of the promise of victory in our lives. But church, when Satan blocks our doors, I want us to hear the word of the Lord this morning. We've got to decide and be determined to find another way into the victory in our lives. Why? Because God wants to set us free. God wants us to be filled with the liberty. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God wants us to have peace that surpasseth all understanding. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. I'm not just preaching prosperity here this morning. I'm preaching you the word of Jesus Christ. You've been walked on too long. Your door has been blocked for too long. God's saying, go through the roof. I said, somebody has been bound by something too long. And God's saying, you need to shake your chains off and decide, I'm going for the roof. Somebody give me a ladder. Huh? Sometimes Satan blocks the door. He places obstructions in our way. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you go find a spiritual ladder you go find, this guy had four friends. You go find a couple good friends.
Hello?
They'll say, hey, I'll hang with you through this.
Huh?
You go find somebody that'll say, you know what? I'll be the one to go get the ladder for you if you'll go through the roof. Huh? Huh? You get doubt in there, you got to step over doubt. You get discouragement there, you got to step over it. Hello, am I preaching this morning? Hello, hello. Ooh, I need somebody maybe to hold this thing. Huh? But what I'm saying is, oh, when the door is blocked and barricaded, huh? Go find somebody that's got enough faith that'll hold the ladder for you while you go on the roof. I said, find somebody in your family that'll say, I'll pray with you until the answer comes. Find somebody in your Bible study class that'll say, I'm going to agree with you, brother. I'm going to trust with you, sister, until we see the Holy Ghost touch in this circumstance.
Woo!
You got to be determined. You got to be determined. If defeat's blocked your door,
you might as well give up and go home. Another day.
Don't you whine. Don't you grieve over blocked doors. Why? Because God always has a way that you can get through. You might say, Pastor, just about the time I thought I was over this trial, I thought it was victory. Something else happened to block the door. Oh, don't worry about that. There's always a way to victory. Just go find a ladder. Huh? I said, just go find a ladder. And look, you don't have to allow the devil to block your victory. Because God said, we're more than what? Conquerors. How did you hear that? God said, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. Some of us sitting here this morning have some blocked doorways. You didn't see any way to victory.
What'd you do?
You gave up. You didn't see any way to victory over your situation, so you resigned to defeat. But there's an old saying that says this: God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hello. In Isaiah 43:16, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. You can read more, but that's the part I want to pull. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. Forget the door. Go through the roof. You know what? We might be done by 12. We're setting records here at Broadway. Psalm 77. Check this out. You can read the background, verses 19 and 20. But notice this. David is recounting the way of the Lord. He says, thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Obviously, this account is of the Red Sea crossing by the Israelites, and it sheds light on the events that transpired at that time, because if you read the previous verses of that account, apparently God used a violent storm, a tornado, and an earthquake to perform this miracle of the Red Sea crossing. It's not mentioned at the time, but later accounted in Psalm 77. But then in the last two verses of this psalm comes the revelation that had not been discovered until recently. And I say recently as in the last generation. Biblical archaeologist Ron quiet. In researching clues, because this passage has been speculated and shot down, saying, no, it's impossible. No group that size could cross the Red Sea. But archaeologist Ron Wyatt began to research clues several years back about where along the Red Sea a vast number of people would have been able to cross that sea, where mountains were located nearby the opposite shore, where the people would have been boxed in as described in Exodus. And he found a place located a canyon there on the beach of the sea. It's known as the Wadi Water. Wadi. It perfectly fit the biblical description. So he noticed that the beach was wide enough to accommodate 2 million people to camp. And so in 1978, this archaeologist and his two sons dove into the seabed of the Dead Sea, right at that place, and discovered the remains of ancient chariot wheels. Dr. Ron Wyatt took those remains to the director of the Egyptian Antiquities. He studied them, investigated them, and announced that they were from the 18th Egyptian dynasty. Which, bingo, correct time for the book of Exodus. Now here comes the really interesting part. The Gulf of Aqaba, which is Red Sea. It's very deep. They said it's up to a mile deep in some places. So additionally, the angle of descent is 45 degrees or more. And they said there's no way you could get animals, wagons, and 2 million people down that steep incline and up on the other side. But however, they kept looking along the Gulf. And at this particular place, in one spot, where Ron Wyatt found the chariot wheels, he said they have discovered an underwater land bridge. It was at the depth of 2,700 feet, and it was 3,000 feet wide. That's a pretty big land bridge. It's underwater. If exposed by the supernatural actions of God, which what he did when he allowed the water to wall up, would have allowed for a gradual descent from the beach and would have been wide enough to allow the entire populace of Israel to cross in a single evening. Praise God. There is a pathway through the sea. When the devil had the doorway blocked, they couldn't go back. Hello. God made a way. And God allowed that evidence to remain into 1978. Evidence that strengthens our faith. That truly, church, He is an awesome God who can make a way out of no way. Ooh, I want us to stand together. You can have victory over your situation this morning. Why? Because when the devil blocks your door, go for the roof. Hallelujah. I said, when the devil blocks your door, go for the roof. Defeat him anyhow. Defeat him anyway. Devil, you can't block my blessings any longer. I'm going to walk in the will of God. I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. You can't do that. The devil says, no, I'm going to block the way. You say, Here comes, I'm going to the roof. Because we can. Why? Because we're more than kind. That, my friend, is what we're talking about when I'm saying go through the roof. When you can't find a way to victory, you just need to go find some friends. Go find a ladder. Listen, God is going to help you through. He'll make a way. Why? Because He's a miracle working God. I want somebody to raise your hands and give Him a praise. If you know that's true in your life, would you raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. You have made away out of nowhere. Woo. Woo. I feel somebody here this morning under the sound of my voice. Just this week, it seems you've noticed the door is blocked. It's impossible, Pastor. It's impossible. There's no way it's going to work. If that's you this morning, would you slip out of your seat? And come and stand across this front. If you're facing a situation that you need direction, I want you to step out of your seat and make your way. Some's already coming. Some's coming. If you're saying, Pastor, the door's blocked, but I'm going to make a commitment to go through the roof, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to stand across this front. I'm going to pray with us. I feel God in the house. I feel the Lord is coming to minister to somebody this morning. Hallelujah.
He will make a road when you bear a heavy load.
Is there anybody else?
I know.
Hallelujah.
God will make a way.
Thank you, Jesus.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
Alright, who'll be some friends? Who'll be some friends to stand beside these folks and say, alright, I'll be the four that'll help you tear through the roof. I'll be here with you and I'll be here for you. Would you come? If you're here this morning and you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, these altars are always open. Please come and embrace Christ. You've got to believe that He is the one that God the Father sent for your sins. You've got to confess Him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not hard. It's simple. Even the youngest among us can do that. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Now I want us to begin to pray as they begin to sing. You can come and find a place to pray, or you can find a place to kneel at your seat, or you can sit there, or you can stand there and just talk to the Lord. God bless you. If you got to go, I understand. But I want us to pray a prayer right here. God, we've got ladies, we've got men across the front of this church. God, they're in some desperate situations. Maybe the adversary has blocked their road to victory. They're in impossible situations and circumstances. They don't see any other way. Oh, God. Oh, that's it, church. Would you begin to pray? Would you begin to pray? I want you to see the Lord. He's directing you right now. He's directing somebody. He's showing you a way. Hallelujah. He's making a way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I said, He's making a way right here at this moment. That's it, sis. Talk to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Somebody's going to go through the roof this morning. Somebody's going to find Jesus in the midst of their problem. He'll be there.